praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. King of glory, we worship and bless your name. Ancient of days, mighty God, we adore you. Lion of the tribe of Judah, the rock of Israel, the Lord of hosts, the mighty healer, mighty savior, mighty deliverer. We praise him. Alpha and Omega, the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the King of Glory. We adore you. We worship you for who you are. For you cannot fail. You have never failed. You are before all things, and you are the one holding all things together. We praise you, Lord. You control times and seasons. You make impossible things possible. Blessed be your holy name, Adonai. We are here once again, Lord, to lay at your feet, to seek your face, and to pray. For we trust in your power, in your mercy, and in your faithfulness. Oh Lord, have your way in our midst. Fellowship with us, as you have said in your word, that wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you will be right there. You are right there. Oh Lord, let your presence be right here. Not only that, let the power of your presence be right here. In the name of Jesus. Let your name be glorified in this place. Let everyone receive comfort from you, help from you, and interventions, and transformation from you, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. Amen. Amen. And we welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. This is Healing Streams program. Today we are going to be looking at a topic that I titled Praying in the Spirit is Healing. Praying in the Spirit He mean? What does it mean to pray in the spirit? I know some of you might have had that statement before, or that expression, praying in the spirit. What does it mean to do that? Does it mean praying with unknown tongues? Does it mean just praying with faith? Does it mean just praying in the name of Jesus? So what exactly does praying in the Spirit means? There is just one simple meaning. Praying in the spirit has a lot to do with you're praying, the environment from where your prayers are coming from. And number two, it has to do with who is in charge of the prayer. Yeah, so those two things are very important to praying in the spirit. The environment where the prayers are coming from. The environment you are. The environment your spirit, soul, and body is when you were doing those prayers. And secondly, it has to do with who is the one in control of the prayers. Yeah. So if you say praying in the spirit means praying in tongues, then we need to ask you, where are those tongues coming from? If you're praying with unknown tongues, we need to ask you, where are those tongues coming from? From which environment? From which place are they coming from? Which location are they coming from? And the second thing is, who is in charge of those tongues you are speaking? Who is in control of those tongues? Are you the one in control? So these are the things to know about praying in the spirit. Yeah, once again, our topic says praying in the spirit is healing. Praying in the spirit is healing, is divine healing. Yeah. To be able to pray in the spirit is to have divine healing automatically. So now, what is praying in the spirit? According to what I said earlier, praying in the spirit definitely means you are You are praying from the environment of the Spirit of God. That is, you are inside the Spirit. You are in the Spirit doing those prayers. That's the first thing to know about praying in the Spirit. Number one is you are in the Spirit doing those prayers. You are not in the flesh doing those prayers. You are in the Spirit doing those prayers. And then number two, you are not the one in control as you were doing those prayers. You are not the one in charge as you were doing those prayers. That is, you are following a flow that is not coming from you. It's just like let's say a river is moving in a certain direction. Then you just jump into the river and then allow the river to carry you along. You know, if you happen to come across a river that is flowing in a certain direction, and then you take some piece of paper and throw it to that river, you know, immediately the flow of that river will carry the paper along. Yeah, the movement of that river will carry whatever you throw into it, especially when you throw something that is very lightweight. Maybe a paper, even a ball. Yeah, the ball that is being used in football sport. Yeah, even if you throw a ball into that river, the river will move the ball along the direction it's going. So the same applies with praying in the Spirit. So praying in the Spirit means you enter into a flow of the Spirit that beyond your control. You enter into a flow of the Spirit or into the flow of the Spirit to go in the direction, to let the Spirit take you in the direction it's going. I don't know if you are getting my point. So that is what praying in the Spirit means. Yeah, so number one, you are praying those prayers while in the Spirit, while in the environment of the Spirit. And then number two, you are not the one in charge of those prayers. You are not the one in control as you were praying those prayers. Yeah, the Spirit is in control. Yeah, the Spirit is in control. He's the one moving you, moving your mouth, moving your mind, your emotions as you were doing those prayers. So that is what praying in the Spirit is all about. So you are entering into a flow that is not your flow. Yeah, so and that, I mean, this explanation of praying in the Spirit makes me to really question the kind of prayers many Christians do nowadays. It makes me to really question the kind of prayers we do in the church today, including the tongues that we speak. Yeah, in prayer, including praying in tongues that many people do in the church today. So I begin to question many of those things. Yeah, because when I look at the way many Christians pray today, I seem not to understand where the prayers are coming from. I mean, where the prayers they were praying are coming from. And I seem not to understand who is in charge of those prayers, who is in control of the prayers that they are doing. So, in a nutshell, most Christians today don't pray in the Spirit, including the ones that they say they do pray in the Spirit. Most of them don't actually pray in the Spirit. Yeah, most of them, they pray in the flesh. They pray in the flesh, not in the Spirit. Yeah, because, I don't want to speak so much on this topic. Yeah. So most believers, they pray in the Spirit, they pray in the flesh, making themselves to believe and making others to believe that they are praying in the Spirit. Yeah, because some of the tongues they speak are not coming from the Spirit, it's coming from the flesh. That is coming from their mind, from their head, not from the Spirit. Yeah, and some of them, they are just, speaking the same tongues over and over again, because they already have the tongues memorized. Have you seen people like that? That when they are speaking in tongues, I mean, praying in tongues, praying in unknown tongues, they seem to repeat the same thing over and over again. Yeah, well, maybe it's the Spirit of God repeating those words over and over again. But in most cases, it's them repeating those tongues over and over again. Yeah, because the Holy Spirit actually have a lot of tongues. He wanted to release from their tongues or from their mouth. But because they have already memorized a particular tongue that came from their mouths some time ago when they prayed in the Spirit, so they just continue to repeat that same tongues. But then they say they are praying in the Spirit. Yeah, so a lot of things we have gotten wrong on this subject of praying in the Spirit. So that is why the Lord wants us to look at this today and also see how this spiritual exercise, how it gives us healing, supernatural healing, divine healing. Let us look at Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Romans 8. Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Jesus from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now I want you to take note of dwell you, dwelleth in you. Yeah, so this is not a spirit that is coming from the outside. This is a spirit that is already on the inside of you. It dwelleth in you, the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells inside of you. Do we really believe this? Let me ask you. Do you believe the scripture that the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, from the grave, 3 days dead man, I mean one who have died for 3 days. Do you believe that same spirit dwells in you? If your answer is yes, what does that mean? It went further to say, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Another question for you. Do you believe that the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, which is dwelling in you, is able to quicken your mortal bodies from inside of you? Do you believe that? That the spirit that brought Jesus from the grave, which we have seen in this scripture that is living inside of you, do you believe that spirit is able to quicken your mortal bodies, that is, your physical bodies? That's what mortal bodies mean. Do you believe that? If your answer is yes, then does that not mean that every time you are in connection with this spirit, the Bible says is inside of you. Does that not mean every time you are in connection with that spirit, your physical bodies get quickened? Does that not mean that every time you operate in that spirit that the Bible says brought Jesus from the dead and is dwelling inside of you, does that not mean every time you operate in that spirit, your physical bodies get quickened? Of course, the answer is yes. A very good yes. That is what it means. Every fellowship, connection, communication, interaction, operation, that you have with that spirit that is inside of you, or that you do with that spirit that is inside of you, which is the spirit of God, the spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, definitely will produce quickening. But now, what does it mean? What does this quickening mean? What does this quickening mean in Romans 8 verse 11? What does it actually mean? Now, let's look at it in another translation. in New Living Translation, Romans chapter 8, verse 11. The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. He will give life to your mortal bodies. So to quicken something according to the Bible, that something is being quickened, it means that thing gets alive. Yeah. Mind you, these physical bodies that you and I carry is dying every day. These physical bodies is dying every day, and that is why we get old and older. Because we are dying. Yeah, but maybe science would not tell you that. Medical science will not tell you that. But the truth is, this, our physical bodies, is dying every day. The older you get, the closer you are to the grave. As a human being, do you agree with me? The older you get, the closer you are to the grave. Yeah, so as we get old, we die. Yeah. So this body is dying every day. And the reason why this body falls, gets sick is because it's dying. It's dying every day. Yeah. I know some of you, you like to celebrate your birthdays. yeah. But do you know that every time you celebrate your birthdays, you are reminding yourself that you are going away from this world. Gone. That is what you tell yourself every time you celebrate your birthdays. You are reminding yourself that I'm getting closer to the grave. Yeah, that is the fact. Only that, and many of us know this fact, but we try to hide from it. It is the truth. So this physical body is wasting away. It's dying. And that is why we fall sick. Yeah. Because death is working in these physical bodies. Yeah. In fact, that is why we get weak. And in fact, that is why we sleep. In heaven, they don't sleep. Yeah, we sleep because we are dying. Maybe you have not heard me say that before, but that's the truth. We sleep because we are dying. In heaven, they don't sleep because they are full of life. Yeah, angels don't sleep because they don't need to sleep. Yeah. And they will be all right. Yeah, but we here, we have to sleep if we really want to be all right. Yeah, because we are dying. Our body is wasting away. The older we get, the closer we are to the grave. Yeah, so because we are dying, it makes our immune system get weak. And sometimes we eat well so that the immune system try to keep us tongue and try to make us healthy. Yeah, but the truth remains that we are dying. So now, here, the Bible says that the spirit that brought Jesus from the grave is able to give life to our mortal bodies. Now, if you think that you have life in your mortal bodies, you are wrong. Life is different from life. The life that you had when your parents gave birth to you, that life is a dead life. Because that life is dying from the day you were born. As you continue to grow, you are dying. Till you probably now die completely, maybe at the age of 120 years, 140 years. That is if you are lucky to live that long. So the life that we got when we were born into this world is not life. We need to tell ourselves the truth. That life is not life. If it is life, it will not get hold and it will not die. Real life does not die. The original life does not die. So the life we got when we're born into this world, I repeat, is not life. It's a dead life. It's a dying life. Yeah. So the real life is this one in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And do you know what? You have the source of this life inside of you as I'm speaking right now. But you just don't care about that life. So you can see how foolish many of us are who call ourselves Christians. We have the source of the real life inside of us, and we don't connect with it. And we don't interact with it. Yeah. So, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God that is in us, is able to give life, which is the real life, the original life. That Spirit is able to give life to our physical bodies, human bodies. That is where I'm going. So I said earlier that our topic is praying in the Spirit is healing. That is, to pray in the Spirit is to heal. Praying in the Spirit is healing. So if you can connect with this Spirit that gives life every time you connect with it. Yeah. Now, from my own personal experience, I discovered that you don't need to ask the Holy Spirit to give life to your mortal bodies. All you need to do is to connect with Him. And I realized that every connection I have with Him, I get life in my physical bodies. So which means this is not a thing of Holy Spirit, please give me life in my physical bodies. No. This is about you connect with Him. You interact with Him. So just you speaking to Him and hearing from Him, you are getting life transfer I don't know if you are getting my point. Just you talking to the Holy Spirit and hearing from Him, there is a life transfer. Yeah. So this is not that you are asking Holy Spirit, please give life to my mortal bodies. This is about you just engaging with the Holy Spirit. So every engagement you have with the Holy Spirit, there is life transfer. Yeah, there is impartation of life. You don't need to ask for it. Yeah, it just happens naturally. Every time you worship in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, fellowship in the Spirit, life is being transferred into you from the Holy Spirit. This thing happens naturally. And it happens all the time. I mean, all the time. It happens naturally. So that is what I know from experience. And it's not only me that, know this. There are believers out there who can testify to what I'm saying. Yeah. So you don't need to ask for that life. You just go and get it. Yeah. Or you just have it whenever you are in connection with the Holy Spirit. And this is why Satan don't want us to be spiritual. He don't want you to be in the Spirit. He don't want you to fellowship in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, because he knows that you get a lot of benefit. Yeah. And then he knows that he gets weaker when you are spiritual. He gets weaker against you when you are spiritual. And then he gets stronger against you when you are carnal. Yeah. So which would take us to the first point. We're going to be looking at 4 points before we pray. The first point says the environment of the Spirit is full of life, peace, and health. The environment of the Spirit, that is of the Holy Spirit, is full of life, peace, and health. Let us look at Romans chapter 8, verse 6. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But to be carnally minded is death. You hear that? But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Sometimes I ask myself, does it mean Christians don't read this passage, this part of the Bible? Because I've really seen a lot of carnal Christians, or maybe I should say, I have seen more carnal Christians in these last days than I have seen spiritual Christians. And I begin to ask myself, do they actually read this passage of the Bible? Have they once come across this passage of the Bible? It says, for to be carnally minded is death. So your mind puts you in the environment that you want. Yeah, let me say it that way. Your mind puts you in the spiritual environment that you want. If you are okay with the environment of darkness, you will be there as long as you want to be there. But then if you feel like, no, I don't want a dark environment, I want an environment of light, an environment of life, an environment of peace, then you know how to switch to that environment right inside your mind. And you will be in that environment as long as you want. So the switch is in your mind. So you can choose to be carnal. What does it mean to be carnal? To think about yourself and about this world, to live for yourself and for the things in this world. That's what it means to be carnal. To follow the cravings of yourself, your flesh, and to follow the lust, the cravings that people are running after in this world. That is what it means to be carnal. To desire those things that only give pleasure to your body and not to your spirit. That is what it means to be carnal. To follow what your body tells you and not what the word of God teaches. That is what it means to be carnal. Is the Lord. So I said, the environment of the spirit is full of life, peace, and health. Yeah, it says to be spiritually minded is life. Yeah, some people have asked me, how do I be in the spirit? How do I come out of the flesh and be in the spirit and live in the spirit? Is to me the simplest thing any Christian can do. I mean, every Christian can do. Because it's in your mind. Yeah. So you be in the flesh by thinking carnal things. You just start thinking carnal things. You're in the flesh. Start thinking about all the things in this world, the pleasures in this world. And then start thinking about the pleasures your body is craving for. Then you are in the flesh. It's so easy to be in the flesh. So easy. Yeah. And then you just change the direction of your mind. Change the pattern of your thoughts. And start thinking about heaven. About God. About Jesus. About righteousness. About the truth. About the word of God, about pleasing God, about serving God, about living for God, about loving God, then automatically you are in the spirit. So the switch is in your mind. Yeah. So what does that mean? Does it actually mean that your mind carries healing power? Yes. That's what it means. So if your mind can switch you to the realm of the spirit, and if the realm of the spirit has the ability to give life to your physical bodies, what does that make your mind? And that makes your mind an instrument of healing. It means your mind can heal you. That's what it means. There's a lot to say, but this is not only a teaching session. We also have to pray. Now let's move to point number two. Point number two says, subduing the flesh means subduing physical sickness and weakness. Subduing the flesh means subduing physical sickness and weakness. You know, I grew up in a church system where where they have separated the works of the flesh from sicknesses and diseases. Yeah. So when the people feel sick, they go to the doctors. Yeah, but when they feel tempted, when their flesh is tempting them to commit fornication, when their flesh is pulling them to commit sexual immoralities, to commit all forms of sin, they go to God. And they say, God, please help me to overcome this temptation. God, give me grace. I want to live a holy life. God, give me grace. I want to please you. So they go to God when their flesh is pulling them to sin. And then they go to doctor. They go to the doctors when they feel sick and weak. Does that make sense? It does not. You know, I say some things and sometimes when I speak, people start looking at me. Now, what are you saying? Well, you have to be careful when you are listening to me because I say a lot of mysteries. And most times I don't repeat myself. But if you don't get those things, when I release those words, you might not get it again until I have to talk about that again. Yeah, so I'm repeating what I've said. It doesn't make sense to go to God to help you overcome sin and then go to the doctors when you are sick. It doesn't make sense because sin and sickness, they are together. Yeah. They are both works of the flesh, only in a different way. They are together. And I've said it before here that the power that takes away sin is the same power that takes away sicknesses and diseases. So that is why if you are praying for healing and you have not overcome sin, you might never get that healing from God. Yeah. Or you might never get a permanent healing. Yeah. So it's the same. Only that they are connected in a special way, not directly. pain and sicknesses, they are connected. Yeah, it's just that the way they are connected is not directly. It's indirectly, but they are connected. Yeah, so if you go to God to receive grace to live holy, and then you go to drugs and doctors, when you are sick, then you are not wise. You lack understanding as a Christian. Yeah. So, subduing the flesh is equal to subduing sicknesses and weaknesses, because they are all works of the flesh. Yeah, what does the Bible say about Jesus? The Bible says he went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Do you take note of that? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil. What does that mean? It means all that were sick, that Jesus were healing, they were actually being oppressed of the devil. So sickness is of the devil, just as pain is of the devil. Sickness is oppression of the devil, just as pain is oppression of the devil. Now tell me, are they different? They both come from the devil. They both come from darkness. They both kills. Pain kills. Sickness kills. So what's the difference? Yeah. Okay. So I grew up in a church setting where they make us to believe that you go to the doctors when you are sick, and then when you need deliverance from the power of sin, you go to God. That's foolishness. Yeah. Big foolishness. But I thank God that God delivered me. And God is delivering you already. So you have to change that mindset. Yeah. Let us read Galatians 5:16-17. Galatians 5:16-17. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. It says, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says the flesh and the Spirit, they are against each other. Your body is of the flesh. I believe you know that. Until you enter into the Spirit, then your body starts following your Spirit. Start following your Spirit and start following the Spirit of God. Yeah, your body is of the flesh by nature. Do you agree with me? Your body surrenders to the flesh, that is the Adamic nature the sinful nature that you were born with. Your body naturally follows that nature. Yeah. But when you walk in the Spirit, when you are in the Spirit, then your body follows after the nature of the Spirit and follows after the life of the Spirit. Yeah, so your body will respond to the realm or the environment you switch to with your mind. But if you are in the flesh, you are carnal, your body will magnetize with the realm of the flesh. If you are spiritual, your body would magnetize with the realm of the Spirit. Yeah. So, which means that every time you subdue the works of the flesh so as to remain in the Spirit. Yeah, because you cannot be in the flesh and the Spirit at the same time. So, every time you subdue the flesh to remain in the Spirit, you are actually subduing sicknesses at the same time. And you are subduing weaknesses at the same time. I don't know if you get it. If your body embraces the environment of the Holy Spirit by you walking in the Spirit and living in the Spirit, then it means that whatever you do to bring your body into that atmosphere is healing. Whatever you do to put your body in the atmosphere of the Spirit is healing. That thing is an instrument of healing. Whether it's meditating on the Word of God, whether it's praying in the Spirit, worshiping in the Spirit, everything you do to put yourself in the Spirit is healing, is an instrument. It's a weapon of healing. Yeah. And then as you crucify your flesh, you are also crucifying sicknesses and diseases at the same time. Yeah. It took me a long time to understand that. Yeah. That is why people that are really living a holy lives, and people that are really living holy lives, they are not sick people. They don't fall sick. Yeah, I'm not talking of people that live fake holiness. People that are really living holy lives, they hardly fall sick. In fact, they don't fall sick. Yeah, except those that they've allowed fear to take over their lives, and fear is according to the flesh. Fear is not according to the Spirit. But let's move to point number three. Devil wants you to believe that your body is greater than your spirit. That's point number three. Devil wants you to believe that your body is greater than your spirit, is stronger than your spirit. because it is the first thing you see every time you open your eyes. So the devil wants you to believe even that your body is more important than your spirit. So all these are lies. Now, if you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 25, we're going to see how the Bible says that Adam and Eve were naked and they were not ashamed. They were naked and they were not seeing that nakedness. Yeah, they were naked, but they were not seeing themselves naked. Yeah, because after they committed sin, that was when they saw that they were naked. So which means that all this while they were not seeing that they were naked, because they were not actually naked. I don't know if you are getting the point. Yeah, they were naked, but they were not seeing themselves as naked. So what does that mean? It means that they were in the spirit. So the spirit, what they were seeing is their spirit. They were seeing their spirits on top of their body. But now, when you open your eyes, what you see is your body. Am I right? Yeah, that's what you see. But it wasn't so from the beginning. Yeah, from the beginning, when you open your eyes, you see your spirit first before you see your body. So, which means they saw themselves as spirit beings. They never saw themselves as physical beings, if I can put it that way. Yeah, but they never want you to believe the opposite, that you are a physical being with a spirit inside of you. But that's not the truth. The truth actually is that you are a spiritual being with a body to fight with. With a body that is an enemy. Yeah, that is the way it is now. In the beginning, it was that we are spiritual beings with a body that is under the control of our spirit. But at that time, the spirit controls the body. But now, it's a different thing entirely. Yeah, so now they want us to believe that we are physical beings with the spirit in us. But that's not true. Because that was not the plan of God. So anything that does not agree with the plan of God from the beginning, should we agree with that? Especially now that Jesus has come to restore all things, to bring things back to the way they were supposed to be, should you now still accept this twisted? Did you accept this twisted life that will bring you up to know this life that it's always telling you is that you are a physical body when in reality you are not? Yeah. So, the human life is twisted now. we can change that twist. Yeah. We can fix it. Through Christ, it can be fixed. Through the power of Christ, it can be fixed. And the Holy Ghost wants to do that if you will allow Him. Yeah, so stop seeing yourself as a physical body. You are not a physical body. You are a spirit. And this body is to serve your spiritual personality. This body is given to you to serve your spiritual identity, your spiritual nature. Yeah. Because that was the way it was from the beginning. The body was serving the spirit. The body was doing the bidding of the spirit. Not the other way around, not the spirit doing what the body wants. I pray that the Lord give you understanding. The last point before we pray. Only the Holy Spirit knows how to pray for your needs. Trust Him. Only the Holy Spirit knows how to pray for your needs. Trust Him. Let us look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 to 11. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 to 11. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So only the Holy Spirit knows about your needs. Remember, our topic says, praying in the Spirit is healing. So whenever you pray, trust the Holy Spirit to help you to pray. Only Him can actually pray for your needs. Because many of the things many of us think we need is not actually what we need. They are just our cravings, wants, and desires. But the things we actually need, they are far greater than what many of us want. Yeah, if I begin to ask all of you one by one now, what do you want? What do you need? What do you want God to do for you right now? What do you need? I'm sure what many of you will list out are not actually what you need. Yeah. So that is why you should trust the Spirit of God to help you to pray. Yeah, because only the Spirit knows what you need. Because He can search the heart of God and discover what God has in store for you per time. So our need has to do with time. Yeah. Our needs have to do with present time. So what many of you need at this time is not what you are asking God for. Because you are carnal. Yeah. That's why you are asking for things you don't actually need. Yeah. Some of us think we actually need money. But we don't actually need it. Yeah. We don't actually need it. Yeah, we need something else first. And that is why we are not even getting the money. Yeah, because God is waiting for us to have something first before he will release the money. And that which God wants us to have first, we are not asking for it. We are not praying for it. We are praying for what should follow. That one. And then God is not releasing it because it will be a disaster if you release money when you don't have the first thing he wants you to have first. Yeah, so many of the things we need, we are not actually praying for them. Yeah, so let us trust the Holy Spirit to help us pray. So whenever you pray, just say, Holy Spirit, help me to pray. Only you know what I actually need for now, at this moment of my life. Only you know what I need now. Because Holy Spirit, help me to pray. And then you'll be surprised that it will help you. As you open your mouth, it will just take over. And everything you say will be coming directly from Him. Yeah. So praying in the Spirit is not about praying in tongues. It's about letting the Holy Spirit take over your prayers. So which, of course, include praying in tongues. But that is not actually what praying in Spirit is all about. So you can pray in your own words and you are praying in the Spirit. You can sing in a language you understand, and you are singing in the Spirit. It's all about letting the Spirit take over every prayer you pray. And I made a covenant with my heart, with my soul, that I would never pray a prayer that is not under the control of the Holy Spirit. I would rather not pray at all and go and sleep if the Spirit is not available to take charge of that prayer. I would rather not pray at all. Yeah. Or I would rather wait there until the Spirit comes. I'll just keep waiting there. Praising God until the Spirit comes and take over. Yeah, because I know that when the Spirit takes over, that is when I can be sure of any transformation and of any results or breakthrough or miracle. So if the Spirit is not taking over, I don't want to do anything. Yeah, well, there's just one thing I can do, which is to praise God. Yeah, I can praise God even while I'm waiting for the Spirit to come. And I think that's the only thing I can do. Or I can meditate on the Word of God while I'm waiting for the Spirit to come and take over my prayer my prayer session, as in my personal prayer session. So if I keep waiting on the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit is taking 2 hours, 3 hours, I stay there until the Holy Spirit comes. I stay there until the Holy Spirit comes and take over. Because I know that is when my prayer makes sense. That is when my prayer produces results. I pray that the Lord will make you wise in everything you do. God's name. So as you can see, in this place, it says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God." Yeah, there were some prayers I was praying some years ago, and God did not answer those prayers. And today, I am thanking God that He did not answer those prayers. Because if He had answered those prayers, I would not be where I am today. I would not be where I am today if He had answered those prayers. Yeah, because those prayers were carnal. I was just concerned about. I needed the answers to satisfy my carnal. My carnal desires. Yeah. Even though those prayers might look spiritual, but eventually I realized they were carnal. I wasn't asking for those things because I really want God to be glorified. I was asking for those things because my flesh wants the pride that comes with those things. Yeah, and I thank God He did not answer those prayers. Yeah, because if He had answered, it would have been a disaster. Yeah, so maybe there are prayers you are praying now that you're not supposed to pray them now. Yeah, so those prayers I was praying then, it is now that they now make sense. So now I can pray them now. Because now God can answer those prayers. But at that time, I wasn't supposed to be praying those prayers at that time. So maybe the prayers, some of the prayers you're praying now, is not actually for them. Yeah. Or maybe you're not even supposed to pray them at all. Maybe you don't actually need those things you're asking God for. So this is why we need the Holy Spirit to help us in prayer. We need to pray for the things we really need. I pray that the Lord give you the grace to pray in the Spirit in the name of Jesus. We're going to pray through prayer points, and then I'll be praying for you and praying on your water. The first prayer point, you're going to talk to God. don't want to be foolish. I want to be wise. Help me to stop seeing myself. As a carnal being. Help me to only see myself as a spirit being. Put me your mouth and talk to God like that. Say, Father, I don't want to be foolish. I want to be wise. Help me to stop seeing myself. As a physical body, as a carnal creature, help me to begin to see myself as a spiritual being, in the name of Jesus. Help me exalt spirituality above carnality. Help me to exalt spirituality above carnality. Help me to desire being in the spirit above being in the flesh, above walking in the flesh. Help me to desire living in the spirit above living in the flesh. If we agree that we are spirit beings, then we will not want to be in the flesh, because the flesh realm is an enemy the flesh realm will be an enemy to us. If we agree that we are spirit beings, because the flesh realm is against the spirit realm. But the problem with us is that we don't even believe and agree that we are spirit beings. That's why we feel so comfortable with the flesh realm. Say, Father, help me to always see myself as a spirit being, and not as a carnal being, not as a physical body, in the name of Jesus. Father, help me to desire living in the spirit. You live in where is comfortable to you. If you consider yourself as a spirit being, you will live in the realm that is comfortable to you as a spirit being. And the flesh realm is not comfortable to the spiritual beings. The flesh realm is hostile to spiritual beings. The Lord, help me to embrace this understanding, to walk in this understanding at all times, in the name of Jesus. Help me to feel uncomfortable with the flesh realm. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we are praying. Amen. Prayer point number 2. May God deliver this generation. We have been deceived to think that the Spirit does not have power over the physical. In fact, does not have power over the body. That's why we take the body to the doctors. because we have been deceived. That the spirit don't have tangible and real power over this physical body. You're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, help me to live daily in the power of your Spirit. The Spirit has power to create physical things. Yeah, because from the beginning, physical things came out of the Spirit. The Spirit was the raw material that created physical things. Go and read Hebrews 11 verse 3. Yeah, the Word of God, which is the Spirit, or which is Spirit. Yeah, because it's invisible. Can you see even the word I'm saying right now, the words I'm speaking right now, can you see it? Of course, you can't see it. You're only hearing. So the Word of God is a Spirit. And the Bible says that is the raw material that created everything, including these bodies that we put on, these physical bodies. And then we have been deceived. But the Spirit does not have power to touch physical things, change physical things, recreate physical things. We have suffered. I mean, many of us in the church have really suffered from wrong and false teachings. You're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, help me to walk daily in the power of your Spirit. Open your mouth and pray like that. Help me to walk daily in the power of your Spirit. Help me to walk daily in the power of your Spirit. Help me to operate in the power of your Spirit that is able to change physical things, break physical things, create physical things, destroy physical things. Control physical things. Remove sicknesses and diseases. Help me to function every day in the power of your Spirit. Are you really praying? If you have not experienced this power, it doesn't mean it is not real. It's just that you are here to experience it. So stop fighting the truth because it has not yet worked in your life. Humble yourself and pray and trust God for an encounter. Not that you open your mouth and start downgrading the power of the Spirit because it has not worked yet in your life. Say, Father, help me to function in the power of your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. And then the last prayer point. You're going to pray. You're going to say, Father, whenever I pray, let your Holy Spirit take over. Every time I pray, let it be under the influence and control of your Holy Spirit. Open your mouth and pray in the name of Jesus. Say, Father, whenever I pray, let it always be under the influence and control of your Holy Spirit. Let it not be by wisdom. Let it not be by the control of my own self, my own strength. Let it be under the control of your Spirit. I know you have to help me for this to happen. The Father, help me. Give me that grace to always pray under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit. Give me the grace to always pray from the environment of the Spirit and not the environment of the flesh. Give me the grace to always pray from the environment of the Holy Spirit and not the environment of my flesh. Give me the grace to surrender to the Holy Spirit to take over my prayer life. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I'm going to be praying for you. And on your water. Heavenly Father, we thank you for you are so faithful, so loving, so merciful. You are omnipotent. Times, omnipresent. You are here and you are there. You are everywhere. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Lord, I know you have spoken to your people through me a lot of things. Father, help everyone here to be obedient to the word of truth in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that your life will not be a disgrace to the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that your life will not be a disappointment to God and his angels in the name of Jesus. I pray for you that you will rise to become who you really are in Christ Jesus, and that you will break all limitations and barriers that don't want you to become who you are in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The power of the Spirit of God that manifests in your life from this moment onward in the name of Jesus. I repeat, the power of the Holy Spirit shall be real in your life, real in your body, in your soul, and in your spirit. From this moment onward, in Jesus' name. All those lies that is in your brain that you have been believing, holding on to for years, I pray for you that you will begin to deny them one by one in the name of Jesus. And as you fully embrace the truth, you will be free forever in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. I pray that the power of the Holy Ghost enter into this water that is right there with you right now. Let the power of the Holy Spirit possess the water. Let the anointing of the Holy Spirit function through the water to do miracles in your life, to do miracles in your body, soul, and spirit. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Amen.